We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Brian Barrett.
Good Thursday, everybody, and welcome in to the Action Line today. We are going to have a fun time. Hope you've got your questions ready for Dr. Sean Lancaster. We're going to be talking about hearing audiology services, and Dr. Sean Lancaster is here to take those questions. We're just going to get to know Dr. Lancaster. It's my first time getting to talk to him. Maybe you know him personally. You want to let us know? Call, text 615-893-1450. All good stories, I'm sure, right?
That's right.
It's not like you're the one that's, you know, giving the bend over, here's your shot orders. So that's good. You know, those are the doctors I don't know. Sometimes taking questions for those folks. But hearing aid audiology services, I guess probably the first thing you think about when you talk about hearing and hearing loss, you just can't hear things as well anymore. But we're going to try to dive a little deeper, because I'm sure there's much more to it than just hearing aids, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes. Well, first of all, just kind of introduce yourself to the folks who are out there listening that may not know Dr. Sean Lancaster and where you're located and all.
Okay. I'm Dr. Sean Lancaster. I've been in Murfreesboro for almost 13 years. I grew up in Middle Tennessee, purchased a practice from Alita Tuma, that has lifelong resident of Rutherford County, and just glad to be here. We're located down on East Clark Boulevard at 608 East Clark Boulevard here in Murfreesboro.
MurfreesboroHearing.com.
MurfreesboroHearing.com, that's correct.
Very very nicely done on the website there.
Yeah.
You know, that helps a lot. So the majority of the patients that come in to see you, what brings them in for that first time?
Most of the time it's a family member that encourages them to come in. The TV volume is louder. They notice they're having difficulty hearing in restaurants. So it's usually either a spouse or a son or a daughter that encourages their loved one to come in.
Yeah. Okay. That first thing hit home to me. My daughter came over to visit last night and she said, "Are you trying to entertain the neighbors?" I said, "What? What are you talking about?" And she went over to the remote and turned it down about 10 notches there. So, I've gotten that before myself. So maybe this is, a little patient thing here going on. Who knows?
It happens, but as we get older, the TV volume creeps up.
It does. It does. As we talk about hearing loss, hearing aids are one of those things. I guess that it's kind of like glasses for some folks. They just, it's one, I'm not going to do that, or I don't need that. What is the stigma around hearing aids, I wonder?
Well, there are a lot of choices out there. Some of the stigmas are disappearing, or they're changing at least. The devices have gotten much smaller than they used to be. We have options, really small options, that fit behind the ear, and we also still have a lot of custom options that fit inside the ear. So it really depends on what someone's looking for, mm-hmm. What their hearing needs are. Hearing loss a lot of times determines the type of hearing aid that best suits someone. But, style also plays into it. Individual has to wear the device, so they have to feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to wear something that's going to show if they're a little bit vain, which is fine. But we do have other options that are fairly invisible.
Yeah. So I'm going from the glasses battle that I had with mm-hmm. both of my kids here. So, they had to have glasses, and so my son, he would lay them down, they would be here or there. He lost probably 20 pair of glasses, and it got to be, and I pulled the old dad, "Well, I never had that problem, because I've worn glasses since I was in eighth grade." there also has to be a bit of, it's what I was telling them, long story short, a bit of habit with it all. I mean, you have to put them on, you have to wear them. So the same with hearing aids, I would think.
Absolutely. We encourage patients to wear them all day long if they can. At least 6 to 8 hours. Research shows that you get more of a benefit from a cognitive perspective if you wear your hearing aids at least 6 to 8 hours a day. You know, hearing aids, you just have to make them part of your routine. When you get up in the morning, put them in, try to wear them all day. People do lose hearing aids. It happens. But it's a device that you're going to want to wear most of the time. You're not going to be taking it in and out, you know, like you would glasses. So, you know, people do typically wear them, you know, all day. And when I tell people, especially if they're rechargeable devices, if they're not in your ear, make sure they're in the charger. You know, make sure you put them in the same place when you take them out. Don't put them in a shirt pocket. Don't toss them down in your pocketbook. Decreases the likelihood of losing them.
That's also a good way for them to be washed.
And that happens. But today's modern devices, most of them are rechargeable, so they're very water resistant. You know, so even if you run them through a wash, chances are just dry them off and they're going to be fine. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they fail a week, 2 weeks after that, and we have to send them in to have them repaired. But another nice feature to a modern hearing aid is most hearing aids now connect to an app on your cell phone, and that app will have a location service. So you can go to your app, say, find my hearing aid, and it'll locate your hearing aid. So
kind of like find my iPhone.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, the only drawback is, you know, if it's inside your house, it may not tell you it's underneath the sofa or it's underneath your bed. You know, it may just tell you it's at your location. You just have to find it within your house. But but at least it's better than it used to be. You know, especially if you lose it out in public, you know exactly where to find it.
Absolutely. Well, and that's probably not one of those things that someone may abscond with if it's out in public, too. You know, it's probably where you left it.
Exactly.
What are some of the more common issues that you see or types of hearing loss that come into your office?
Well, the most common that we see is called a sensory neural hearing loss. It's where the little hair cells and the cochlea have been damaged due to noise exposure, age, genetics. People lose hearing, you know, that are passed down through their families. That's the most common type. You know, occasionally we do see people with chronic conductive hearing losses, which is a middle ear issue. But with modern medicine, you know, we've kind of solved a lot of the conductive hearing losses we used to see 50, 60 years ago. So I'd say that, you know, the sensory neural is the most common type, you know, because we have a lot of people that have been exposed to a lot of noise.
For some reason, I get a few health things that pop up, and not getting my health advice from Facebook, but or whatnot, but you know, it picks up on things that are said or whatnot, right. and so that's one that shows up. You called the small hairs inside your ear. What are those called?
Hair cells.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the cochlea.
Yeah, the cochlea. That's an organ of hearing. It's a little organ that looks like a snail shell that we all learned about in class back in school, and that's where you have. I don't want to get too technical, but you have two sets of nerves. You have the outer hair cells and the inner hair cells. The outer hair cells look like little hair follicles that wave around in the fluid. And then you have the inner hair cells, which are connected to the hearing nerve that goes to the brainstem. So, you know, outer hair cells are typically damaged first. Inner hair cells are damaged second. And that's when people start to have a lot more difficulty with understanding. So when there's been some damage to those inner hair cells.
Okay.
And so we see both.
So the cochlear implants that you hear about, that's to help the cochlea?
It is. A cochlear implant is a device completely different than a hearing aid.
Yeah.
And it's when hearing aids really don't offer help anymore. You know, people have reached the point where they no longer receive benefit from their hearing aid. Then we often refer them to a surgeon for an implant consult. A cochlear implant is an electrical device. It emits an electrical stimulation to the nerves in the cochlea. So it's inserted into the cochlea, and it just directly stimulates those nerves.
The likelihood of the person who's out there saying implant surgeon, what? You're probably not a candidate for that necessarily, right?
Yeah. If you would already be seeing an audiologist. You'd already be wearing hearing aids in most cases, with the exception of small children who may be born deaf. But in most cases, you're already seeing an audiologist. The audiologist is going to make that referral when they notice that you're just not getting the benefit from your hearing device anymore. And people do. I mean, you need to do a hearing aid trial before you do an implant, to make sure, that you can't be helped by hearing aids.
So we're talking with Dr. Sean Lancaster with Hearing Aid and Audiology Services here in Murfreesboro, MurfreesboroHearing.com. They're at 608 East Clark Boulevard, and Dr. Sean Lancaster answering questions here this morning. If you have some, text those in, 615-893-1450, and I'll read those off to Dr. Lancaster here in just a few. I jokingly ask you about, how many radio people that listen to their headphones too loud have you talked to and our patients. And we talked about one in particular, but environmental factors is where I'm going with this. I'm sure work-related, environments, you see a lot of that.
I certainly do. I see a lot of people who work in manufacturing plants exposed to a lot of noise. Even though majority of them are wearing earplugs, you can still sustain some hearing loss depending on the noise level, depending on the number of hours you work in that environment. People who work construction, people who just have hobbies that involve noise, using firearms, working around race cars, going to loud concerts, musicians who have played around loud bands. Even as part of your occupation, you can acquire hearing loss due to all that loud noise. So we see a lot of that.
Yeah. The musicians at church wear these inner ear, monitors now. I mean, things have gotten smaller, but we also are putting more in our ear or on our ear,
right.
AirPods, things like that.
Yes.
And are we seeing maybe more people from those types of devices?
I'm guessing me and you look about the same age. Back in our day, if we want to listen to music, portable music, we'd put on, the Walkman style headphones
that
went over the ear.
Mm-hmm.
And you just couldn't get those loud without disturbing the person beside you.
Exactly.
Nowadays, AirPods, earbuds go in the ear. You can get them much louder without disturbing the person beside you. So you can really actually get those to a dangerous level. And so we are seeing more hearing loss in younger adults and kids who are using those devices at an earlier age and playing their music entirely too loud. And so that can absolutely damage your hearing. And so we just encourage anybody to keep it at a moderate level, and don't wear them too long, enough to damage your hearing.
So, which is better? I'm going to just say it, the 80s headphones that we wore, but too loud, or the ones that we can wear more moderately?
Well, I said earbuds, but I've seen a trend lately. Kids are starting to wear more of the over-the-ear headphones than they used to. Even my own daughter, went from an AirPod to an over-the-ear. And so, they can still be, just with the technology, they can be louder than mm-hmm. the old, corded Walkman style. So just like, just encourage anybody to just keep it at a moderate level. Don't turn it too loud. But we're seeing more and more of that. Kids just walk around with headphones, you're listening to music or videos on their phone. So it can cause damage.
My phone sometimes is, kind of like my kids, it's saying your environment is too loud. That's kind of a health feature, I think, on the iPhone, probably on Android too.
Right.
Those helpful, you think?
Yeah, there's apps you can download to your phone where you can measure the sound level in your environment. So those are helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll do that if I go to a, yes, I'm an audio nerd, but sometimes I will pull out my phone and see how loud it is if I go to a concert, and I try to take my earplugs with me, but you know, just out of curiosity to see how loud it is, and go, oh, you know, this could really damage somebody's hearing.
Yeah, and you're seeing patients everywhere, you know.
In the, that's right.
But I don't think we sometimes realize how, because maybe that environment is only temporary. Maybe you're going to, you know, a college football game, for instance, and you're there just a few hours. But can you damage your hearing in just a short amount of time like that?
If it's loud enough, yes, you can. Yeah, it doesn't. You don't have to be exposed for a long period of time if the signal is loud enough, and it certainly can.
Okay. If you've got questions, again, 615-893-1450 is our number. Dr. Sean Lancaster is here. I was asking you about hearing loss, you know, and most common types. Are there parts of the country that even maybe have higher hearing loss than others, or are we talking about just mainly environmental factors, or any thoughts on that?
I can't say that one part of the country we see more than others. Yeah. Maybe in more industrial areas of the country where there's more manufacturing, you might see more, you know, hearing loss than others.
At what point, I guarantee that I'm talking to someone, and maybe myself, that someone has said, you need to have your hearing checked. We've talked about, you know, the TV's up too loud, this or that. And, you know, it's usually those who love you most who tell you that.
Right.
So what drives people into your office for that first visit, I guess? I'll approach it that way.
Well, a lot of people, they get to the point where they admit it. You know, their loved ones have been on them. They may even notice it themselves. And so they will want to come and at least get a baseline test that they can use to compare any future tests to. Or they have, you know, all their friends are getting hearing aids, and they notice that, you know, they're not alone. You know, people their age are needing hearing aids, and so, you know, maybe it's their time. But it's just the encouragement, you know, of family members that drives them into the office.
Is it usually family members? So I was
kind of right on that. Yes, yes.
It's I'm not sure. Why is hearing one of those things that we're so reluctant to admit to ourselves we're having that issue? And mm-hmm. I don't know what why do you think?
Well, I think one is the cost. You know, it's treating yourself, you know, spending that money on yourself. A lot of people don't like to do that. You know, they're so used to taking care of other folks and not taking care of themselves. And so, you know, that can be a big factor. You know, I think some people still have that stigma that hearing aids make them look old. But like I mentioned earlier, the new styles of hearing aids, you know, it all changed back in the, I'd say, the early 2000s when people started wearing those over-the-ear Bluetooth devices to connect to their phones. That kind of started to change the stigma a little bit. And now, you know, now kids, you know, wearing all the AirPods and the... So a lot of that stigma is starting to disappear.
I will say that there was almost how do I want to put this? I was talking with Bart one day, and we had this moment of, you know, I kind of think I would kind of dig to have that kind of technology in my pocket. Right. When all of a sudden he's listening to, you know, a voicemail message, it's like, give me a second, you know, and he's just standing there, and you know, it's like, you've got Bluetooth, and it's prescribed because it's needed. Right. You know, there were some things about that made me almost a little jealous.
Well, it is pretty cool.
It is.
In fact, I have a patient that a few years ago, she does stuff at her church with, you know, the younger congregation, and they gave her the nickname the High Tech Granny.
Oh, wow.
You know, because, you know, she was connected. Her hearing aids were connected to her phone. Bluetooth to your phone. She can listen to phone calls, music, control them through the app. So it can be cool, you know. And I've heard that from other people. Their sons or daughters come with them and are like, oh, I'd love to have that technology.
Yeah.
You know, they don't maybe not quite need hearing aids yet, but they would love to have that technology that puts all the sound in their ears.
I will tell you that I even went and did some internet searches on, you know, how can we make this console to where I can do, you know, to hear the output. Anyway, that was just a moment I just popped into my mind from a couple of years ago. We do have a question, and we're going to take a quick break, but I do want to get to it here in just a second. A question about, you know, it seems like there are lots of what are purporting themselves to be solutions, over-the-counter solutions, mm-hmm. that are out there now. Okay. And they kind of want to know your thoughts on those. Okay. and things of that nature. So we'll come back and answer that question and any others that you have. I did see a couple there, so I'm going to take a look at those during this quick break here. So if you've got questions for Dr. Sean Lancaster here talking about hearing aids, audiology services, he actually is the business owner of Hearing Aid and Audiology Services here in Murfreesboro, located on East Clark Boulevard. Dr. Sean Lancaster's website, MurfreesboroHearing.com. So we're going to take a break, come back with more as the Action Line continues from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios. And a quick reminder, the 25th annual Earth Day celebration returning to Murfreesboro on the square Saturday, April the 18th from 10 until 2. Be sure to stop by MTE's Energy Hub trailer to check out the interactive energy efficiency displays. Free fun for the whole family coming up on April the 18th on the Murfreesboro Square. A check of traffic and weather coming up for you here as well as we continue the Action Line.
Hi, I'm Lee Colvin, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. And while you've heard the saying, slow and steady wins the race, that same concept can be applied to long-term investing. Investing a little bit at a time on a regular basis can really add up. We call this systematic investing, and though it doesn't guarantee a profit or prevent a loss, it's a way to take advantage of market volatility instead of enduring it. Give me a call, Lee Colvin, at 615-907-7056. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Holden Hardware now has an e-commerce site. Go to doitbest.com/Holden-Hardware and shop all the items in our warehouse. You can have them shipped directly to you, or most items can be shipped for free to Holden Hardware for pickup. Shop with us in person or go online to doitbest.com/Holden-Hardware.
One more time.
doitbest.com/Holden-Hardware.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin, it's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle Right Tennessee.
Local farmers, local meats, vegetables, and other produce at the Winter Spring Rutherford County Farmers Market.
Bundle up and make your way every Friday at Lane Agri Park.
35 years. That's how long your family has trusted my family to care for your pets.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City. From the entire team here at Animal City, we want to say thank you, Murfreesboro, for allowing us to be your local pet and pet product experts. We have grown up with you, and we're grateful. Stop by and celebrate 35 years of local love with us. Animal City, it's more than a store, it's our home. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
CBS News Brief. Israel says it's killed a top Iranian naval commander in charge of the blockade in the Strait of Hormuz. Despite claims from Tehran, President Trump insists.
We're winning so big, nobody's ever seen anything like we're doing in the Middle East with Iran. And they are negotiating, by the way.
In a new social media post, he accuses NATO nations of doing absolutely nothing to help with what he calls a lunatic nation. Former Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro will appear in court this morning. CBS's Katrina Kaufman's in New York.
He basically can only leave the cell for 1 hour a day. When he does, he is accompanied by two corrections officers and a lieutenant.
Florida Attorney General James Uffmeyer is threatening legal action if the NFL doesn't drop a rule requiring race-based consideration in hiring.
NFL teams and their fans don't care about the race of the coaching staff. They want a merit-based system that gives their team the best chance to win.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Good morning. We got slow traffic here on 24 westbound here at Walden Road. It's really heavy and slow trying to get out of Rutherford County right now, trying to get into Nashville, Davidson County. A little bit slow here, 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. That's not going to surprise anybody. Busy but moving here, 40 westbound. As you come past the airport, all that traffic on 40 west still coming in right now from Wilson County. Hey, don't let a slipping transmission make things worse on your car or truck. If you're having transmission problems, take it to AMCO Transmissions today at 1212 Gallatin Pike in Madison. I'm Commander Chuck when you're on time traffic.
Now, here's your Rutherford weather forecast.
Sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 85. Lows level off around 62. Tonight, clear skies. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujitsky on News Radio WGNS. Right now, 64.
The voice of reason for an unreasonable world. It's the Rick Burgess Show, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio WGNS.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We continue the Action Line at 8:43 as we continue this morning. Your questions for Dr. Sean Lancaster with Hearing Aid and Audiology Services here in Murfreesboro on East Clark Boulevard. I felt like I was having my own little mini consultation with you, Dr. Lancaster, for a second. So not trying to get free health advice or anything, but you can out there listening. 615-893-1450. Text us your question. And this question from our text line, looks like we have a couple on this same issue talking about over-the-counter solutions. That seems to be a market that is growing. Maybe talk a bit about that.
Yes. So over-the-counter hearing aids were designed to offer people that have up to a moderate high-frequency hearing loss options. So they are, you know, they did, when they started to go into the design, you know, they consulted a lot of the audiology, organizations out there. And so they've decided to kind of limit those devices to those hearing losses simply because if you have more hearing loss than that, then you really need to see a professional. They didn't want the hearing aids to have an unlimited, or the over-the-counter hearing aids to have an unlimited ability to amplify, so they didn't want people to overfit themselves and possibly damage their hearing. So if you have low frequency hearing loss, a lot of mid frequency hearing loss, over the counter hearing aids are not going to work for you. Or if you have more than a moderate loss in the high frequencies, you need to see a professional and get a prescription hearing aid. Again, if you have hearing loss in one ear and not the other, over the counter hearing aids are not going to work for you. If you have a medical condition, conductive hearing loss, you need to see a professional. Over-the-counter hearing aids are not the right choice. So even whether or not you go with a prescription hearing aid or an over-the-counter, I do recommend seeing an audiologist, have your hearing tested, and then you have a test that's done by a professional. You know what your hearing levels, your hearing levels are. And then you can take that test, and if you want to try an over-the-counter, at least you have a test to put into the app, because most over-the-counter hearing aids are programmed through an app on your phone.
Right.
They're not programmed by a professional. So you don't have a person, you know, that you're working with to make that over-the-counter hearing aid work. Prescription hearing aids are much different. They're set to your hearing loss, but they're also validated. You know, we do testing with the hearing aid to make sure that we are appropriately amplifying your hearing loss, but not over amplifying your hearing loss. So that's one of the biggest advantages, plus the personal care that you get from a professional that you don't get from an over-the-counter device.
Wouldn't our habit be, if we have a little trouble hearing, to try to turn it up too? I mean, you were talking about getting to that right level, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And so, like I said, the over-the-counter hearing aids, they're controlled by your app. You know, you go in and make the adjustments. And so they might be a perfectly fine choice for some people, but not others. And, you know, come and see me. I'll do a test, and I'll let you know whether or not you would qualify for over-the-counter hearing aids. A big misconception, though, with over-the-counter hearing aids is that the ones that are $100, $200, even $500 are okay. Those are still considered cheap over-the-counter hearing aids. If you want a good set of over-the-counter hearing aids, you're still going to pay around $1,500 to $2,000 for a good over-the-counter set of hearing aids. And so if you're spending that much, you might want to consider maybe just looking into a set of prescription hearing aids. I'm not against over-the-counter hearing aids. I think it's a stepping stone. It's kind of like reading glasses are for people who see fine otherwise, but maybe just need a little help reading or seeing a computer screen. Over-the-counter hearing aids kind of serve the same purpose. You know, they're for people who might have just a little bit of hearing loss that just needs a little help. They're not quite to that point where they need a prescription hearing aid.
And to help answer the second question kind of on this, that I saw a text in, and I'm just kind of spitballing here to get to their question, because it was quite a long question, but the crux of what they were getting at was the cost, and you kind of touched on that. So you might be able to see here over-the-counter hearing aids that are a few hundred dollars, but right. You just mentioned the quality of those. When you get into over-the-counter hearing aids that are in the $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 range, are you in the range of prescription hearing aids?
Yes. Yeah, you can get into the lower range of the prescription hearing aids. And there are, you know, check with your insurance. There are insurance programs now that offer discounts for hearing aids, especially for those over 65. You know, we have... you know, we have options. You know, we're not just going to come in and tell you that you need the best hearing aid out there. And if someone tells you that, you know, shop around, you know, get options. There are hearing aids that cost less than others. It just depends on what your needs are. And so that's why I say, you know, talk to a professional, whether it's me or someone else, talk to a professional to get that advice.
I have a feeling that this next question that maybe is something that happened to them, because they were kind of talking about you know, feeling like they were trying to be that the hearing aid or the hearing assessment led to them trying to be sold a hearing aid. Right. I'm not making a lot of sense there, but. You don't do that in your office, I take it.
No, some people are ready to, you know, they'll come in and they're ready to go, you know, and that's fine. Yeah. You know, they're ready to purchase. They've been thinking about it for a while. Yeah. But for people who are not ready or maybe on the fence about it, I have a program, I call it Flex Trial, where you can come in, we'll do a hearing test, and then based on your results, I will make a recommendation. If the recommendation is for a non-custom, meaning a device that fits over the ear where you don't need a custom earpiece, then oftentimes we can fit you that same day with a device that you can take home and try for a week. And there's no charge to do that. And that way it gives you a chance to try a device, see if it's going to work for you. And we can offer all different levels of technology and all different price ranges for that trial.
To the person, we've already kind of talked about the aesthetics of it. We're seeing hearing aids become smaller and smaller, even the over-the-ear types, aren't we?
Yes. So what happened is, over the years, hearing aids have gotten smaller and smaller, but then we get rechargeable hearing aids. Mm. And so they've gotten a little bit bigger over the years, simply because that rechargeable, that lithium-ion battery is a little bit larger. But the convenience of charging a hearing aid versus having to change the batteries, it is completely worth it. But we still have some smaller, you know, rechargeable devices. And we also have some custom rechargeable devices. So if you don't want to wear it over the ear, we can also do an in-the-ear device that's also rechargeable, which we didn't have that several years ago.
The rechargeability of hearing aids, that has been a game changer, hasn't it? Kind of, really.
It has. Especially, you know, they passed a law a few years ago where they changed the packaging on a hearing aid battery.
Mm-hmm.
And they went a little too far. They made the packaging so difficult that people have to use scissors to cut their batteries out of this package. And so it can be very difficult to do so. And so I'm thankful that the majority of my patients don't have to deal with that, because most of them choose a rechargeable device. In fact, some of the newer devices that are coming out don't even have a battery operated option. It's just rechargeable only. And we're seeing much longer battery life with a rechargeable hearing aid than we used to. And just like anything else, you know, the technology just keeps getting better and better. We don't have as many problems with the rechargeables as we did in the very beginning. So it's a great technology.
And I would think someone, you know, with maybe arthritic hands or, you know, that those were just so hard to deal with because they're so tiny.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go to another question. I kind of take it this person maybe is part of one of the social civic organizations in town that kind of deal with this, but talking about testing in schools and having our children tested, where should we go with that?
Well, kids are already tested. You know, in Tennessee, every newborn is tested for hearing. And then, you know, when they start school, they're also tested again. So kids are tested on a pretty routine basis.
And I guess they were kind of talking about there used to be testing in school. I remember when they would come and test our eyes and test our hearing, you know, maybe third grade or something like that in school.
Yeah,
there's still testing
that goes on in the schools.
Okay.
Yes.
Still that happens.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Another question from one of our listeners here. Can hearing aids be adjusted as your hearing needs change?
Absolutely. Yes. And that's one of the important things about getting a prescription hearing aid is that your audiologist is going to choose a device that's going to essentially grow with you. In other words, if your hearing were to change, I'm going to select a device for you that's got plenty of room where I can adjust it if your hearing changes. You never want to be fit right at the limit of the fitting range, because then there's nowhere to go from there. So make sure you get a device that's capable of that. And with today's devices, especially the over-the-ear devices, in a lot of cases, all we have to do is switch out the little wire that goes from the top of the ear into the ear canal to a stronger one. And then all of a sudden, you've got a hearing aid that's capable of putting out a lot more gain, a lot more volume.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that little wire, it's not just to hang over your ear.
It's a speaker.
Serves a purpose.
It's a speaker unit.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a wire that runs from the top of the I'm referring to the receiver in the canal hearing aids.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wire that runs from the top of the hearing aid down to that goes inside the ear canal, and that's a little speaker unit. And that little speaker unit is what delivers the sound into the ear canal. And we have different strength receiver units that we can use for different hearing losses.
Okay.
And so in extreme cases, most of the time we can adjust the one you have, but in some cases where the hearing drastically changes, we have to go from, say, a moderate gain to a power gain receiver speaker unit.
With prescription hearing aids, there are different types. Are there in-ear types of prescription hearing aids?
Yes. We have larger, we call them behind-the-ear BTE hearing aids that are appropriate for more severe to profound hearing losses. And then we have the most popular type. They're called RICs, receiver in the canal. That's the most common type that we use nowadays. And those will fit anywhere from a mild up to about a severe hearing loss. And then we also have in-the-ear options. And again, in-the-ear options, they can fit anything from a mild down to a severe loss. So we have a big range when it comes to the different styles.
Yeah. And those, the RICs, I guess, or the some of these are small enough that I bet 98% of the people never even see that you have a hearing aid.
In most cases, you're right. You know, the, especially on females, you know, their hair covers it up, and a lot of males, the hair covers it up as well. But they're so small, the ear itself kind of hides the hearing aid, and the wires are so thin that you really don't see them from the front.
I have trouble with any hair covering anything for myself. So
me too.
Just trying to let me look through, see if we have any additional questions here for you. This one fairly specific. In my 60s, and a friend said that he heard that I needed to get them while I'm younger versus, you know, in my 70s or 80s. Anything to that?
Yes, that's a great question. There's been a lot of research, especially in the last 10 years, about how untreated hearing loss can affect your cognitive ability. We're seeing earlier signs of dementia in patients who go untreated. So it is very important, as soon as you notice hearing difficulty, have it tested. You know, if you have a hearing loss, consider treating it with a device. Because then you're going to prevent, you know, some of that cognitive loss. You know, think about your ears kind of like a muscle. You got to exercise it. That's why we see all these games, apps on our phone for brain function, mm-hmm. to strengthen our brain function. A hearing aid's like that for your ears. It's going to strengthen your hearing function.
When you can't hear some things, do you lose some ability with that? Why is this maybe showing signs, right, of helping with dementia?
So one thing that we see is when someone has hearing loss and they go untreated, we see their speech discrimination ability, their speech understanding ability decrease at a faster rate than people who treat their hearing loss. It's not going to completely stop that progression, that, you know, that degradation of your speech understanding, but it's going to help slow it down.
Okay. Very, very good. We're getting close to our time running out here. It's kind of flown by with Dr. Sean Lancaster this morning. Dr. Lancaster, tell us, just kind of wrap up about, mm-hmm. your practice. And I meant to mention Dr. Kim here, but I forgot all about it. So I'll let you to it here as we go out.
So we are a private, locally owned audiology clinic. We have different treatment options for hearing loss, tinnitus. I mentioned the trial. You know, we do a lot of trials. It's nice to come in and try a device to see for yourself whether it's going to work for you before you have to shell out a bunch of money for a device. It can be very intimidating to do that. So, you know, come in and try a device and see for yourself how well it's going to work. But we're located on 608 East Clark Boulevard. You can find us on the web at murfreesborohearing.com. I also have a Facebook page. So go look at our reviews online. We have a lot of five-star reviews.
And the thing about it, if you're on the fence, if you've been wrestling with this for a while, just come in, make an appointment.
Yeah.
What can it hurt, right?
Right. And there's two audiologists in that office, me and then Dr. Kim Mozingo. We're there to help you.
Well, very good. Good to talk to you this morning. Yeah,
thanks for having me this morning.
Dr. Sean Lancaster, our guest here on the Action Line. And if you missed any part of the show, the podcast will be up shortly at WGNSradio.com.